everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who yawns real big about it.
Turns away from the microphone. I do turn away from the microphone now.
Sometimes.
Season two is all about learning.
That's pretty good. That's good. Oh, boy. Well, we're back. We're back for another one. It's happening every week again now.
Yeah, it is.
You feel good about that?
Yeah, eventually season three is going to come around, and I'm going to miss season two. So
that's right. I guess keep telling yourself that. Your wife's back from her quick trip to Paris.
She was. Yeah. Yeah.
She seemed like she had a good time.
Yeah.
According to her Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. She had a really good time. I had a similarly good time.
We'll get to you.
In home, you know.
I do. Before we forget about Amy, I do have a quick question. She texted me twice from Paris.
Really?
Do you know this?
No.
She texted me one day, and I don't know what time it was in Paris. I don't remember what time I got the message, but it was just like I got a message from Amy, and she has, we don't text a lot.
Sure.
She sent me a message and said, "Are you good at Photoshop? This is not a prank."
Oh, okay. I am tangentially aware of this. Yes.
Okay, because I said it already sounds like a prank.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty good at Photoshop. Not too bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing for 2 days. and then 2 days later, I get another text from her that says something like, I need to remove a belt in a picture, but keep everything else the same. And I wrote back and I said, well, I feel like I'm being punked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I could do that. And then radio silence since that.
Yeah, that was my fault. That was my.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Whatever day it was, she texted me. She's like, "Are you good at Photoshop?" I said, "No, I know. I neither own Photoshop nor have ever worked with it." So, well, who do we know is good at Photoshop? I said, "Boy, I'm gonna say Clayton. Clayton's good at it." Yeah. So, and then radio silence for me. So she obviously was in texting you.
So yeah. So I don't know. So let her know I'm available, and mm-hmm. I could probably remove a belt if that. Now that was like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we are still looking for show sponsors if she wants to, you know, put her money where her mouth is.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We could do a whole segment of it and stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so she had fun in Paris. How was your time in St. Louis with your children?
It was similar. You know, they also call St. Louis the City of Lights. So yeah, just one light, City of Light.
City of the Light. Yeah.
But no, we did absolutely nothing. It's actually kind of peaceful. It was entire weekend of nothing.
Oh, thank God. Hey, everyone, listen, mom's not here, so mm-hmm. we're watching Bluey mm-hmm. all day, every day for 5 days. Cool. Yeah. Good. That's nice.
How about you? How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? Well, Patrick, I'll tell you, last week, the president of my university was fired for what I can, as far as I can tell, no reason other than the board just hated him. And then on the first day of school, and then they just appointed another dean at the university to new president, not interim, not acting president. Mm. Full Jesus, he's president now.
Wow.
Now that's not how you normally do it.
It's a coup. Situation. That's called a coup.
It seems coo-ish mm-hmm. now, and this is still your
employer, but
it's still my employer. Listen, he's great.
Yeah. Coo might be a strong word.
And I like the new president truly. Like, we work well together. So I that part I'm not so bad. It's just like, it's jarring. And also the president mm-hmm. was doing some like pretty big projects.
Yeah.
And then just like, oh, this is the first day of class. You don't work here anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a big shift. So, the last week and a half so far has been fallout from that, mm-hmm. and I expect the fallout to continue for the next at least 8 months.
Well, and that's not very nice to him either, because, you know, by the first day of school, all the other universities have hired their presidents, so there's not a lot of spots open.
You're smiling, kind of making a fun joke about that, but that's true. He's pretty fucked for at least the next year, I think. Yeah, he sure is. He's a great guy, and I, you know, mm-hmm. we moved to Virginia, and a big part of that was, wow, this leadership team is great. I really want to work for them. Mm-hmm. It's good here. Everything here is good.
That's awesome. What's your next state going to be?
Boy, it's, you know, we're going to just spin a globe and then throw a dart and see what happens. Oh, boy. So my weekend was some of that. Just
cool.
More. It's a lot of stuff wrapped up all in that. Thank you for asking. Do you want to tell your Olive Garden story, or is that just private for you and me?
Let me think. Yeah, I think we can probably tell the Olive Garden story.
I have a note here. It's a good story. So I made a note.
It is. Okay. I'm gonna have to take out the part. I have to change some names.
Yeah.
I have to change some names.
Uh-huh.
But I think I can. So Stella. Well, I'm sorry. So Amy leaves town, and I tell each girl, okay, you have one night that you get to pick where we go out to dinner. You know, no place nice. I'm not.
Yeah. No. Of course. Yeah. They know you, so exactly. They're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, the first two nights, whatever kid picked, the other kids refused to eat there and just stayed at home. So it was pretty cheap. I liked it.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah. But third night, Stella was like, I want to go to Olive Garden. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like,
now I want to stay home.
The place is so trashy, they don't even have them like in our zip code anywhere.
And you've got a trashy zip code.
A pretty trashy one, yeah. Like lots of Wendy's around here. A lot of Wendy's and Dairy Queens, but no Olive Gardens have crept in yet. She said, I want to do the unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks. I said, Stella, you're a child. All food is unlimited to you. You're not paying for any of this. It's all unlimited food for you.
Yeah. Like in, you know, 10X your age and then it's fine.
Yeah. So, but she dug in her heels. That's where I want to go. Okay, fine. I will look up where the closest Olive Garden is. And it's way down in South County. Fine. So we drive 20 minutes to get down to Olive Garden. And it was not as classy as I was thinking it was going to be. It was a little bit less classy than I was thinking it was going to be.
I got a South County, St. Louis, South County Olive Garden sounds like one of the worst.
Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we sat down. Everyone was very, very nice. Everyone there also.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone there also appeared to be all of their first day, which God bless them. God bless them.
Hey, let me tell you, as someone who's had a first date at Olive Garden, that's a special time.
Definitely something you want to share with everybody else also having their first date at Olive Garden. Uh-huh. So they sit us down way in the back because we have kids, and that's what you do in a restaurant. You hide the children. Mm-hmm. And sitting kind of across the aisle from us, but at like a weird angle to where only I can kind of see this table. Like the girls can't really see it. There's a older woman and two older sons of hers, I guess, just from the way they were interacting.
Or it could be like a sexy kind of cool time.
Well, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. none of these people appear to be very well, just in general. Just
yeah, I mean, they're at Olive Garden.
They're at Olive Garden. Yeah, I mean, but so are we. And so that's why I'm, well, of course, you're looking at the man in the mirror there. You're like, you know, he's looking at me and I'm looking back at him. And we're both waving or something. So about 5 minutes into our visit there, like right when they bring the salad out for everybody, the woman at this table across from us throws up all over the table.
Now, had she eaten yet?
They were at the end of their meal. She threw up all of her Olive Garden food.
Oh, no. She's paying for that food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was pretty upset about it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
I bet.
She was pretty upset. And her two sons were trying to console her because she was like, yeah, I've ruined everything. I've ruined dinner. And I'm thinking to myself, you did.
Yeah, that seems that. Yeah, absolutely.
Or you've at least wasted it. And so her son's like, don't worry. No one saw that. And I'm thinking, like, I'm only speaking for myself here, but I didn't have to go looking. Okay, like,
right.
It just happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it
a scene? Was it like a quiet?
No, it was like a quiet, like cough too much and then threw up all of your dinner.
Okay, so it wasn't a fire hydrant style.
No.
Chris Farley SNL thing.
Absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
So that's good.
Okay, it was a
good,
very respectable good. Throwing up on the table.
That's
at Olive
nice because there are tablecloths at Olive Garden. Am I wrong?
This one was not. This one was heavily varnished tables that appear to be buffed every evening. Okay. So it just kind of slides right off. And I thought, boy, well, we are just. Aren't we the classiest people in this whole place, relatively?
Now you're feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm feeling fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Turning it around. Olive Garden, actually, good choice. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stella. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing.
Absolutely. And then about 5 minutes after that, during kind of a lull in the conversation, June, you know, who's she has a hard time knowing, like, how to make conversation, right? She hears me and Stella and Gloria talking very easily. Yeah.
She's young.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, she's six. Uh-huh. And she says, just out of the complete silence in the middle of the restaurant, she says, do you remember whenever Paula touched Dobby's dick? Dobby's a dog, by the way. Dobby's a dog.
Now, is Paula a dog?
Paula is a girl.
So you're right back on top.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I did misspeak. I do want to edit real quick here. She did not say dick. She said penis.
I didn't want to ask just in case it was not true that she said it, because it's so funny.
Do you remember when Paula touched Dobby's penis? So, and I had to very quickly correct her and say, we do not talk about that. That was an accident. We do not talk about it.
It's certainly not in polite society.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So then, but of course, we're all laughing, right? We're laughing. I mean, it's very
how
funny.
Can you not?
How can you not?
Jesus Christ.
And the meal is, you know, it's obviously off the rails. So a few more minutes goes by, right? And Stella gets her soup. It's a chicken gnocchi soup.
Yeah, chicken gnocchi soup.
Which, again, after witnessing what I did, I couldn't imagine eating soup for a year, really. Uh-huh. But she has it. And then it gets a second bowl. It's unlimited, right?
Yeah, go for
it. And the second bowl comes, and she goes, you know what? The first bowl had more chicken than gnocchi, and this bowl had more gnocchi than chicken. And June goes, maybe next time there will be more penis than soup. And I said, June, I know we laughed at the last one. But you can't. This is too much.
This is a new detail. I had not heard this part of the story before.
Yeah. I like, after I texted you like 15 messages in a row, I thought, you know what? I need to stop the story. I need to let you catch up.
And I mean, I have to ask, was the third bowl more penis than soup?
She did not order a third bowl. She was thoroughly
very
disgusted.
Smart. Yeah. Very smart, Stella. Jesus. So Amy's back now.
Yes, thank fucking God.
Oh, God. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
I would love to hear a ghost story. Sure. Why not?
All right. Let's see.
Thank you.
Couldn't be any more perfect. Yep. Nailed it. Oh, my God. All right. Well, Nathaniel Green was born in 1742 in the township of Warwick in the American colony of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
Fuck you.
And I want you to know, I started researching a different story from a different part of the country. And then, I don't know, for some reason, I wasn't trying to make you mad or anything, but I thought, you know what would be fun is if we just do a Rhode Island story for Patrick.
I appreciate that.
I wasn't trying to be antagonistic. It just felt right. So here we go. Nathaniel's parents were Mary Mott and Nathaniel Green Sr., who was a prosperous Quaker, who was a merchant and a farmer.
Okay.
Now, Nathaniel is descended from some of the founding settlers of Warwick, whatever that's worth. And his family has a pretty cool coat of arms. I've pulled up for you here. Let's see. It's not often we get a good coat of arms.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, this is nice. This looks modernized, though. This is not what it looked like back in the 1700s.
It's hard to imagine the colors being so vibrant and the shading being so...
All these colors come from some sort of artificial chemicals or only developed in the 1950s. I promise you.
Yeah. Now, this does look like some sort of like Dr. Seuss style.
It does.
Animal on a hat.
Not just that, but on a hat. And that hat is some sort of a helmet that provides zero visibility.
Well, it's a soup helmet.
It is a way to collect rain in your face if you really want to.
You pour it right in there, mm-hmm. and it is down in the gullet. Right there. It's the opposite of a plague doctor mask, yes. Really.
It looks more like it's a stag wearing a breastplate. That's what it looks more akin to.
It looks like a stag wearing a breastplate that you could stab someone with and collect the blood for a ritual of some sort.
I love it, is what I'm saying. So, I love it.
Yeah. So I'm getting a tattoo of it, and it's great. So that's coat of arms. Now, because Nathaniel's father was a Quaker, Nathaniel Sr. strongly discouraged such things as dancing and book learning.
Okay.
Can't learn.
A merchant, but won't learn from the books.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not at all. But when he's a young boy, Nathaniel convinces his dad to hire him a tutor. He's like, can't read books. Like, can you? Yeah. How? Yeah. Absolutely. So he learns mathematics, the classics, law.
Classics like Zeppelin, or what do you mean?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. law and various works of the Age of Enlightenment.
My favorite age.
Voltaire.
Absolutely.
Yes. And you know at least three artists from that age.
I do. Voltaire II,
Voltaire Jr.
Voltaire Jr. and Lady Voltaire.
So that's kind of his whole deal. So he's obviously very insufferable from an early age. Now, here's an interesting quote about Nathaniel. At some point during his childhood, Green gained a slight limp that would remain with him for the rest of his life. And I could find no further details about how that came to pass.
Oh, it's got to be chlamydia. Got to be. You don't.
I'm 8 and I have chlamydia.
You don't get a lifelong limp without a good explanation of it. And if you refuse, if you refuse to explain it, I'm just assuming chlamydia. I'm sorry.
It's got to be. Now, would that give you a limp? As someone who understands,
depending chlamydia. On how bad it gets. Yes, absolutely. You get the double
third
limp
leg
sometimes.
And the second leg. Yeah. It was real bad. Now the Green family, they own a foundry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a foundry is?
I do. It's where you form metal into things.
Yeah, you cast metal. Mm-hmm. You say
correct.
Metal casting shop. Which sounds like hard work back then.
It does. Pretty hot. Probably not pretty
very
safe.
Hot. I don't like it's. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it's safe at all. But like most importantly, too hot.
Probably all lead.
I would rather be so unsafe and cold than hot and safe.
I don't know. I don't know which I'd prefer.
Heat is the worst. But this foundry is over in Covington in Rhode Island, and in 1770, Nathaniel heads out there to take charge. Just the whole dang thing, whole big operation. And of course, now he's moved to this new town, to Covington, and so he needs a house.
Right. Can he make one in the foundry? Or
So he builds a house out of metal. Now, so he builds a home that he calls Spell Hall. And no one is really sure why it's called Spell Hall. There is a theory that it's because of witches. Now, witches don't factor into the story, so I don't think that's right.
Or is it one of these things where he just wanted to call it Hall, and somebody's like, I'm sorry, what? Hall. Can you spell H-A-U-L? Hall? Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
One going theory is that this was he had a school room inside this house where they learned spelling.
Okay.
Now that feels too stupid to be real.
Yeah.
However, whatever, it's Spell Hall. So it's a 2.5-story wood frame house with a gable roof. It's got two chimneys and a clapboarded exterior, and it follows a typical late Georgian center hall plan. Which means it has a center hall.
Right.
And then four rooms on each side, like two on each side, two rooms on each side, top and bottom, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like all the late Georgians had that.
Some of them did. Yeah. And here's the house.
Love it.
Spell Hall. Simple, easy. idyllic. Georgian houses are very, they're, gosh, very straight.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a lot of angles. Just very, just there. They're just there. You know what that is? That's a house.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That off-center window in the middle drive me fucking crazy.
It's not great. Not. Now that you've pointed it out.
Could I, not live in that house.
I don't like that. Yeah. It doesn't make it. Why? And it actually seems that I think the door is not centered.
But the. I don't know.
That's
I don't
bad. Know what happened. That's bad. I was going to say a Georgian house is really kind of like what you think of when a 4-year-old draws a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe this is how the door came to be off center. Maybe they let their 4-year-old draw this house. Anyway, the property on which Spell Hall is built, it encompasses about 2,000 acres.
And that's the house they made?
And that's it. That's the one.
They bought an entire county. And they're like, I know what we'll do. We'll build a house in 10 minutes on it. It'll be fine.
So he's living there. It's great. He likes it a lot, I guess. Now, his dad dies a little while later. And so he and his brothers take over the family business, the foundry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's cash flow. That's money.
That's when the pranks begin.
Absolutely.
Dad's gone, and I'm going to pretend to throw you into the vat of molten lead.
The pranks you can pull off in a foundry are next level for sure. In July of 1774, at the age of 32, Nathaniel marries a child named Catherine Littlefield. She's 19 years old, so I guess she's for that time, of course, she's pretty old. But he's 32, she's 19.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's not bad. Oh, it says here she's also his niece.
Ooh, okay. So like a double May December thing. Like May December and then also
Yeah. Oh, no, but only by marriage.
Oh.
So
unbelievably gross, but
yeah. Let's see. She's his niece by marriage of a distant cousin.
That's fine.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably fine.
This sounds like something he's having to explain to his mother. Like, it's,
listen, mom, it, hey.
Yeah.
I did the math. Yeah. Like, don't. Of course I did the math, mom. Mom.
I know we met at a family gathering, and that doesn't sound great, but I checked.
I do think this has to be the rule, though. Like, if you do meet at a family reunion, you can't get married. Even if, like, it's like your cousin brings a date and then later they break up, like, even that, you can't get married.
Yeah.
You cannot spend your life telling people you met at a family reunion. Absolutely not. So, anyway, they eventually go on to have 7 children. Anyway, so after the French and Indian War, which ended in 1763, the British were like, I don't know about these American colonists. I don't think we like them very much. And so this is when tensions really kind of start to ramp up between colonists and Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at one point, a British official named William William Duddington. I mean, of course.
Begging to get their asses kicked out of this country. Begging for it.
How many ascots are you going to wave as you sail away after kicked your ass into the ocean? So William Duddington seizes a boat owned by Nathaniel and his brothers.
Mm.
Now, Nathaniel does not like this, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He files a lawsuit against William Duddington. And the lawsuit actually was eventually successful.
Oh.
Which is kind of surprising. Maybe less surprising is the fact that while the lawsuit was pending, an angry mob of Rhode Islanders went out to the bay and set fire to the ship, burning it to the water.
Oh. Well, now nobody gets the boat.
Now no one gets the ship. And Nathaniel's like, I'm pretty sure we were going to win that one, guys.
Yes.
So that's not great for him. So after this episode, the British are like, I don't think we want to do business with the Green family anymore. They file lawsuits against us and then burn our ships to the ground that are theirs. So this is the turning point for Nathaniel. He's like, fuck these Brits. Like, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1774, Nathaniel helps organize a state militia in Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
known as the Kentish Guards. Sounds so British. I want to poke my eyes out. But he's organizing it. And of course, because he's like, he's leading the charge. He's gathering these folks together. Of course, he wants to be an officer.
Absolutely. No point in otherwise.
That's the only reason to do this. But the other guys are like, oh, I'm sorry. It's just, you limp so hard.
Exactly.
From your sex disease.
We need an equipment manager, though. So you could think we need someone to keep score. Do you think you could help with that?
Can you clean the jerseys?
Ooh.
Because we really need someone to clean the jerseys.
These pennies are getting really stinky after all of our wars. So
yeah. Who could help with that? You're great at that. I think you'd be really good.
Can you limp around and pick up all the pennies that we dropped after our war?
We're doing shirts and skins, and we really need someone to pick up the shirts. So he was not selected as an officer in his own militia, which is it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. But it's okay, because in 1775, the next year, the legislature of Rhode Island creates the Rhode Island Army of Observation, which is not really what armies are kind of meant to do.
Right.
Normally. Mm-hmm. They should observe, certainly.
Right, absolutely.
I don't think you put it in the title, though. But Nathaniel gets to command this Army of Observation.
Okay.
And which is, it's great news. And he takes over the army. And 2 months later, we get the Battle of Bunker Hill.
Ooh, someone's got to observe that.
Someone's definitely got to observe the Battle of Bunker Hill. That's a big one. So Nathaniel's in command of this army when the Battle of Bunker Hill happens, which is a big deal. Now, he did miss this battle because he was actually home visiting at the time in Rhode Island.
Could happen to anybody. Got to use up that vacation.
Absolutely. Use it or lose it.
Yeah.
And he's like, absolutely. I'm going home. Going back.
Does the Army pay out vacation if I don't use it? No, I'm sorry.
No.
Not one of those things.
Well, I know we're going to battle next week, but I don't know. I got about 10 days left on this clock. So he misses the Battle of Bunker, which is a pretty big one. But he returns almost immediately after that battle is over, like the next day.
Very convenient. That's when I would show up too.
And he just does this the entire Revolutionary War. And wow.
Man, this battlefield needs a lot of observing, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm. But he shows up the day after, and he was super impressed by how well the colonial forces did. Which I think does not help his case that like this was a timing mishap. I definitely would have been at that battle. I had this trip planned. I didn't know. But I have to say, wow, you guys, whoa, you did great.
I thought you guys were all dead.
I thought there was no chance. So he's very impressed. And then the Continental Congress, of course, creates the Continental Army, and they put your friend and mine, George Washington, in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington makes Nathaniel a brigadier general.
Oh, okay.
So he's moving up the ladders pretty quick for someone with a limp, you know? So Nathaniel goes on to do all sorts of Revolutionary War stuff. It's a big part of his Wikipedia page is just the most boring stuff you've ever read about the Revolutionary War. It does include one time where he threatened to resign from the war over the appointment of a French officer to the Continental Army.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it again, my 100% of my American Revolution knowledge comes from Hamilton.
Just Hamilton. So. Was it Lafayette? I don't know. But it is the question I asked myself also. And I purposefully didn't research it because I didn't want to be the one who's like, it wasn't Lafayette, but it had to be. And you brought it up. That is the one French officer we know. It probably was because he was really close with Washington. So it probably was Lafayette. He's like, he's fucking French. Absolutely not. I will retire. Now, he's a little bitch baby. He did not follow through on his convictions.
Oh.
He did not retire. But he's in the war. He's doing stuff. And, you know, again, like, if you want to read some really boring entries about history, you could go do that. And you'll find out eventually. I don't know if you know this, Patrick, but America won this war.
Oh, is this the one?
This is one that, yeah, it's okay. The one. Yeah, we did great in this one. One and done, as they say about the revolution. And Nathaniel was a big part of it. He had some good stuff. And after the war is over, he leaves the military And he goes back home to Spell Hall. Back to Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Time to kick his feet up and
learn to spell.
Learn to spell, I hope. But he also turns out he had incurred an insane amount of debt during the war.
How?
I was wondering that as well. And here's what I didn't dig too deep into this, but here's the surface level of what I found. So during the war, his soldiers needed like clothes and food and stuff.
Sure.
And I guess the Continental Congress was like, we're not going to give you money for that. And so he bought his entire regiment clothes and food on credit.
Okay.
Which to his credit, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. So nice.
Absolutely.
Fiscally, not good.
See, here's the thing. You're kind of hedging though, right? Because
how so?
If you lose, right?
You're not paying that
back. Yeah, they're not paying that back. I mean, you're dead. So is all the for all those guys.
Yeah.
And if you win, I don't know, if you win, maybe you're thinking, well, someone's going to, you know, we're going to be, you know, printing money and throwing dollar bills up in the air or whatever they're called. You know?
But then fucking Alexander Hamilton comes up and he's like, that treasury, we got to rein it in.
We got to rein it in and we got to give Thomas Jefferson all that power. I just want my face on the money. That's all I care about.
So he's in a lot of debt. So he cannot afford to stay at Spell Hall. And so instead he moves south to oversee the several slave plantations he had been awarded during the war.
Ah.
So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not great.
There's no heroes in early America. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's no heroes. So he's down. He goes down to Savannah, which is where one of his plantations is, the biggest one. But he has several that he got for, you know, beating southern armies of the British.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways really ahead of his time because it's going to happen all over again in the Civil War. Beat them and take over their plantations. Anyway, in 1785, Nathaniel is challenged to a duel by James Gunn.
And this is the story of the Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the
story of Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the whole social media snafu that James Gunn did that led to his
almost
cancellation.
I never researched it because I didn't want to know, but this was it.
But if you look back, it's 1785. Yeah. He's like, I'm gonna do a duel against this hero of the revolution. No, I think it's a different James Gunn.
Oh, maybe.
Listen, I didn't see a photo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is this James Gunn at this time was a senator from Georgia.
Mm, probably a different guy.
Might not be.
Yeah.
So again, I don't want to get sued for libel, but probably different guy. So James Gunn challenges Nathaniel to a duel because of a pretty serious slight. And here's the story of the thing that made James Gunn very angry. After the war, Nathaniel tried to keep his war horses because those are probably some badass horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he owes a lot of money to a lot of people.
And he needs to sell those horses for so much money. But James Gunn, who was in Congress, sold those war horses. And in exchange, he got some lesser horses and one slave.
Okay.
And Nathaniel, I think, got none of that.
Hmm.
So Nathaniel's mad, and so he submits this whole incident to a military tribunal, which, I don't know, might have been overkill a little bit. The court hears the case, and they're like, actually, this sounds fine. We don't care about this. And so Gunn was not found liable for anything, it was fine.
We are surprisingly busy right now. I don't know if you were paying attention to how the war ended, but we're pretty busy.
We've got some other things going on here, Nate. And then Nathaniel's like, well, okay. If the military court's not interested, let's see what Congress has to say about this. So he escalates it to Congress. Now, Congress also could not care less about this whole thing. So they kind of dismiss it. So nothing ever happens to James Gunn, but Gunn is, he's pretty embarrassed because Congress is like, that's his house. Mm-hmm. He's in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And then like all the people are like, oh, I heard you sold that guy's war horses for a slave or whatever. So he's pretty embarrassed. So then 3 years pass. And then after 3 years pass, Nathaniel is now in Savannah to mm-hmm. be part of his plantation. And this is when Gunn is like, you motherfucker, you embarrassed me. And now you're in my backyard? Absolutely not. So Gunn sends Nathaniel, quote, a threatening letter. Now Nathaniel receives this letter and he's like, I'm not going to respond to this.
He's probably pretty excited about getting mail though.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Every day now, my girls are like, want to check the mailbox. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was little wanting to check the mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
Getting mail is so fun. Mm-hmm. Now I do, they do run into the middle of a road and I think that's not okay.
But mail is so cool. In these days, before bills, right?
Yeah.
There's no way you're getting like bills in the mail in these days.
Every letter has
to be something good or at least important.
It's from some woman who has wished you well in war.
Yeah.
That's what I know about letters in this time.
Or maybe one of your children is dead. Or maybe you inherited a bunch of money. No matter what.
It's a real fucking lottery.
They're all worth opening.
Really. Absolutely.
Back in these days, there is no situation where you get a letter in the mail and you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to open this thing up.
No. There's no such thing as junk mail at this point. Absolutely not. So he's like, I'm not going to respond to this. He would have done pretty well in the social media era, I think, because that's the move. So now James Gunn is mad that not only has Nathaniel, you know, embarrassed him and slighted him, mm-hmm. but now he's ignoring him.
Ooh, that's even
so
worse.
Now the girlies are fighting. He's so mad. And this is when James Gunn challenges Nathaniel to a duel.
Mm.
And Nathaniel declines the duel.
I would too.
Of course you would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's not a single. Let me tell you something, Pat. Mm. There's not a single person who's listening to this podcast who thinks you would accept a duel. That was never in question. But Nathaniel, I mean, this is big stakes. Uh-huh. But he declines. And fun fact,
wham!
Fuck yeah. He declines on the advice of Mad Anthony Wayne.
What?
Mm-hmm. He asks Mad Anthony, like, what should I do? And even Mad Anthony is like, listen, I'm going to be bones in like 3 seconds. But until then, don't do it. It's not worth it. Mad Anthony Wayne, by the way, still, I think, maybe my favorite episode we've ever done.
Nathaniel, live your life, you'll be in a stew pot tomorrow. Seriously.
Oh, man. So he declines based on Mad Anthony's advice. And the reason that Nathaniel gives is basically, I was your superior in war. Mm. You have inferior rank. You're embarrassing yourself.
Ooh.
No, thank you. Which is just like, that's a real nice twist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now we know already James Gunn does not suffer that kind of slight
mm-hmm.
very well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pretty mad. He gets madder. Now Nathaniel at this point writes to George Washington and he's like, cause you could just do that. Cause there are 9 people in America at this point.
And even at this point, George Washington is still opening all his mail too.
Yeah, I mean,
of course he probably gets like 3 or 4 pieces a day, but he's still opening them all up.
Yeah. So he writes to George and he's like, George, I just want to check. Like, are people calling me like a bitch now? Because I declined this duel. And George was like, No, listen.
No one's a bitch here.
No bitches here. You know what? If anyone, Gunn's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a quote. You can quote me on George Washington there. He's like, no, you're good. Like, Gunn sucks. You're fine. Mm. Don't worry about it. No one's talking about you. Although they probably were.
Mm.
Anyway, 1 year later, Nathaniel dies from sunstroke.
I mean, they were discovering all the diseases back then. You can die from the sun.
God love him. He did his part. And this is a quote that I just have to read verbatim. Some people have posited that Nathaniel rode through the Georgia heat because he was afraid that Gunn would attack him after the sun went down. So, I don't know. He died from sunstroke.
Yeah. And I'm sure Gunn is like, this guy is so stupid. I'm just going to let him die of some other cause.
It's just going to happen on its own. Yeah. And I will eventually get my revenge for sure. So he dies. Now, once Nathaniel had moved to Georgia, one of his brothers was like, what do we do with the house in Rhode Island? And he thought Nathaniel would come back, but he did not, partially because he died from sunstroke. And so his brother kind of runs it, you know, he owns it and he runs it, but Spell Hall falls into total disrepair.
Mm.
Eventually it becomes a tenement house.
Mm.
But not like a nice one.
Oh.
And the last member of the Green family to live in the house was Nathaniel's great-grandniece, Elizabeth Margaret Green Warner.
Mm-hmm.
She lived there until she died in 1899, and she is buried in the backyard.
Mm, the old gerbil routine. Love that.
They had a hard time finding a cardboard box big enough for her body. But they did it. God love them. They did it. Now, according to Josh Wonar, the property's caretaker today, Elizabeth's spirit and maybe a few other spirits remain in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The halls of this house in Rhode Island will sometimes smell of freshly baked bread, though there is no bread being baked.
Oh.
But, you know, she was a woman, so she definitely baked bread.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing that they do. Folks will also sometimes see an elderly woman, who is Elizabeth, in one of the bedroom mirrors.
Mm.
I don't like mirror ghosts. I want to say, we've talked about ghosts that show up in mirrors. I got to, like, if we're being totally honest, that fucks me up a lot.
Really, if you think of it, like, naturally, instinct-wise, a mirror, there's a lot of trust with mirrors. Like, I still don't understand how they work. So there's
everyone is magical.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, you don't expect dark magic.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. So,
yeah.
Don't like it.
Sorry, I feel like I stepped over your thoughts there. Do you have more to share?
No. Mirrors?
Yeah. We're just.
I trust that they're good, you know.
And when they're not good?
That trust is broken, like a mirror.
Like a mirror, like 7 years bad luck, and that trust being broken. There's also a, quote, judgy energy in the house.
That's called Rhode Island. That's what that is.
Just tell me you hate Rhode Island so much. Elizabeth was a bit of a teetotaler, so she sucked. And there have been several occasions where someone has brought alcohol into the house, and when that happens, suddenly you can hear someone stomping angrily up the stairs and latching the doors shut. She's a real bummer.
Mm-hmm. Even with the bread.
Now the bread feels good.
Yeah.
There's also a corner of the backyard where you can hear the ghosts of children giggling.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice. It's that a is, good energy.
Yeah.
Fun. According to Wonar, this may be due to the fact there's an unmarked cemetery next to the family cemetery where I guess they just threw bodies in. I don't know. Because it's on their property.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, we'll just bury some people here.
Mm-hmm.
How about this?
Gotta make ends meet this month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sell off a 6x3 plot in the back for 20 bucks.
$20? Absolutely.
Now I can make the rent.
Mm-hmm. And this is a quote. This is a kind of a longer quote. once they even got proof on film. Wonar had been giving a private tour to a ghost investigation group when they heard a loud, unexplained thump in another room. The team had been recording with a thermal imaging camera at the time and decided to play it back. Sure enough, you can hear the noise, but when the guy paused the video to show someone else, I looked at the screen and said, "Wait a minute, what the hell is that?" Wonar recalls. They had caught a full-on apparition. As the camera guy turns toward the noise, a figure comes out, looks at us, and turns like it's going out the back door. If I saw it on TV, I would have laughed and been like, nope, completely fake. But I was there. They tried all sorts of things to debunk it, like maybe it's a shadow or a reflection, but there was no other explanation.
Huh. Whew. Do you have that video to show us? Or
I looked for it, and it couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. It's weird. Couldn't find it.
So it happened in the age of thermal imaging cameras, but didn't happen in the age of...
Didn't make it to the internet.
Making it to the internet. Okay, that's fine.
Nope.
So I'll just have to trust you on that one.
Yeah, I think there's no reason not to.
You've earned it. You've earned it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that is the story of the Nathaniel Green Homestead in your favorite state. Any questions, thoughts, or concerns about this story?
Boy, no. I mean, I love a good sunstroke death. Who doesn't?
I mean, I don't. I don't like it for me. I like it for Nathaniel just fine, but not for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah. I do love the throwback to the era of when you could just write a letter to the president and he would respond back and be like, no, you're cool. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Have you tried writing a letter to Donald Trump?
No, I think we sent a wedding invitation to the Obamas. Or whoever's the president.
You fucking dorks.
It was like
how'd that go?
Yeah, it was like an internet trend back in.
Yeah,
back
it was. Then. And they would like send like a thing back. Did they send you a thing back?
They did not.
oh, they knew about you.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. All right. Well, that is the story. And I think that's it for us then this week.
For this week. Yeah.
Not forever. No, don't. I'm sorry. I didn't make you excited. No, we're coming back next week. Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were, in fact, taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson, who also does our website. Thank you so much, Jen. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jen Jones, Sam Murdoch, and our merch is handled by Fox and Quill Studio. And I think I got to tell you, my big takeaway from the story is you should never back down from a duel. Someone challenges you to a duel, you say yes. If you back down, we will be talking about your great-grandniece on the next episode of Is This a Ghost?